Radio.
There he is. Jesse Hughes. I'm sorry you had to walk here.
Basically.
We could have gotten you a car.
Oh,
hey, I'm Dino.
I was even
sitting there.
I was sitting video going like, oh my God, look, this is what we're in.
This is awesome.
Hi, what's your
name?
This
is the drummer from Eagles of Death.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Nice to meet you, man.
Hello, got Jesse Hughes from Eagles of Death Metal.
Yeah, like a Coca-Cola or something.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I think she's getting me a lot.
This is so awesome.
Yeah, it's nice in here, huh?
No, the whole production is incredible.
Yeah.
Thank you, darling.
Are you going to be on too?
Yeah. Hell yeah, you are.
Yeah. Sorry, what's your name?
Jorma.
Jorma.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Do you want this? You can use it.
We stole them from a band called The Bronx.
Oh, yeah?
And it caused a great turmoil. We're now in a gang war with that. No, I'm just kidding.
I got a guitar in case you want to play. What is this, Stevie Ray Vaughan's?
Are you serious?
No, it's Stevie Ray Morris.
Have you ever heard of the band Icarus Line?
No.
Well, there's a film of them on YouTube, and they're at the Hard Rock the Joint in Vegas, and the guitarist grabs one of Stevie Ray Vaughan's guitars off the wall, and he tries to plug it in, and security guards come from everywhere and tackle him. It's like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. He just pops up out of the melee and gets the guitar, plugs it in, and gets one note going before they tackle him again. It's kind of amazing.
Wow.
I recommend it. It's a good Google.
I will. We'll all Google that. We're rolling. This is it. Hi.
Hello.
Do you guys write together? Jorma and yeah?
Yeah. The normal Eagles of Death Metal writing partnership is my best friend and I, Joshua Hami. And then Jorma, we just, like an angel, just got him to come to the band. And he and I just finished doing the score for the new Super Troopers comedy film, which is kind of hilarious and kind of awesome for us.
Are there words to that or is it just music?
Well, you know what's weird is the score is more like soundscape.
Yeah.
It's more like Foley, I guess, you're creating.
Oh.
And but we, you know, we got to put our personality into it. And then we did a cover of Blinded by the Light by the Bruce Springsteen song covered by Manfred Mann.
So you're covering Manfred Mann's version?
Well, we're basically saying douche instead of deuce, if I can say.
Right. Right. Do they say douche?
Well, Manfred Mann makes it awfully very close to it, so much so that Bruce Springsteen, you know, supposedly
had to come out.
Hates it.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I found out he hated, I had to do that version. No,
Did you hear about Beth, the song Beth by Kiss? It used to be Beck because it was one of the band members. Becky was their one of the girlfriends.
It was also their only number one.
Yeah, was it?
Really?
But someone said, I think like it might have been a, because Peter Criss was drummer, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can't see him being too worried about the state of his girlfriend's loneliness.
It wasn't even his girlfriend.
Yeah.
It wasn't even someone in Kiss. It was a band before Kiss. I just looked it up,
you know,
for some reason.
They're notorious for approximating and appropriating stuff around them like a pop magnet.
Yeah.
I mean, to some people don't like it. I love the first 7 Kiss albums. I think they're amazing.
I liked them as a kid.
My dad, he would always say, this is kid stuff. And I'd be like, I'm 7 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do this, Dad. That was my first show, Kiss Destroyer.
Sorry, I'm a little sick, but, you know.
But you look amazing.
Thank you. You do, too. You guys look great. So you guys write together and...
It's been one of the coolest experiences we've ever had.
Do you usually write on your own?
Yeah, I'm very self-centered. I don't like to share anything, especially the money. And so I'm like, I think I can do this all by myself. But I'm... No, I really enjoy rock and roll. I love our life, and I love the cool aspects of it when you approach it. And I've always benefited, maybe I'm corny, but I've always benefited from a very idealistic and a very sort of corny way of looking at stuff. You know, you're only as good of a friend as you can be.
Yeah.
And that's what you should expect. And I just want to be, you know, I love my friends.
Yeah.
Jorma, he's come into this band after some really interesting things in the band's life that would be difficult for any drummer to just step into.
Yeah.
And he's done it, like, supernaturally, I think. I think you've had supernatural
help. Here's a question that applies, because I just started a band, and this is why I started this, because I'm interested in songwriting. I know you winced a little. Like, did you just start one at 52 years old?
I started at 33. Like, in terms of
yeah, that's the age Jesus died.
And I wrote my first album in a week. Like, after going through a divorce, I'm more like Cinderella. It's more like Sword in the Stone, but being a werewolf my whole life and not seeing my first full moon till I'm 33.
Yeah,
you just waited longer. That's awesome.
Yeah, I wanted this part of my life to be a beginning rather than.
There's no rules to that, and youth is an attitude.
Yeah. But so my question was because I've. Because, you know, we have an album that's coming out and
awesome.
And I wrote all the, you know, chords and the melody and the words, but we're splitting the royalties four ways because I feel like they did, in some way, they wrote the song too with their parts. They wrote their parts. How do you feel about that?
Well,
because I've never asked anyone this actually about what writing actually is.
I would ask myself a question. Did those parts actually fundamentally change the nature of the song? Was it an addendum? Was it something that honestly was what anybody would hear, or did it significantly change the identity of the song? Did it change it from a minor to a major? Did it do something like that?
Not from a minor to a major, but it's certainly, especially like the lead guitar riffs are really cool. And I mean, I think...
Well, they're cool, so I would appropriate some value to it, but four ways. In my experience, a benevolent dictatorship is what works, not a democracy.
All right, well, I hope they're not listening.
Well, I didn't say who I thought the benevolent dictator should be.
Oh, that's true. It could be the drummer.
Yeah, yeah. It could easily
be. It usually is.
Yeah.
They're nuts.
I like to, like with Jorma, normally drummers, the best way to get a drummer off your front porch is to pay for the pizza and ask him to leave, right? I mean, normally we all know. But with Jorma, he can write music. And if that's possible, I enjoy that. My first and only experiences in music and songwriting have been making music for a friend of mine to like. Or, you know, I love that. I love the interaction. I love the idea of seeing something get taken to where it should go. My only rule is you check your ego at the door, and we just work to make the music the best it can be. We listen to the song, and it'll tell us what to do. You know, it sounds...
Yeah. Well, I got to get up and put my ego outside the door then.
No, I brought it. This here. Is a different animal right here.
Oh, okay. So how do you guys write together? I'm interested in partnerships like this.
Well, I have a certain songwriting style that I think we were bringing to the... And it's, you know, my mom says I Quentin Tarantino-wise classic rock radio. But I just look at it like... We like music that dances and shakes its, you know.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if I can say the word. I mean, I don't know what
you
the
You can say anything.
Oh, well, I mean, I just came to shake my dick and have a good time.
Not that word. Oh, God, I can't believe it.
But I meant it like Richard.
I thought you were going to say cunt or something.
Oh, no. I have a friend named Richard, and he's got up. I like to shake him a lot.
Oh, yeah. I got a friend named Contella.
Yeah.
She's Spanish.
<That's> awesome.
But, yeah, I've noticed that with your music. It's definitely, you know, there's... I mean, I can't write music like that. That's great music to dance to. Do you usually, how hard do you work on, like, giving it meaning, like, behind the lyrics and all that?
Well, there's a certain element there. I guess it's supernatural, but meaning.
More instinctual?
I don't like, for me personally, there's plenty of artists that can write songs that are really super deep, and I like to express an emotion, and I don't like to exalt a negative feeling or something depressing. I like to escape from it. I like to say I'm winning, or I like to write the winning version of whatever. Yeah. That's what my songs are for. I mean, if I got to write songs, at least I'll write them where I win.
Yeah.
Or at least I get laid. Or because, you know, girls didn't have sex with me on purpose in high school. So this has been like a real...
Really? Did they have sex with you by mistake?
No, not at all. Oh. Not even on purpose. That's how sad it was.
Yeah. Well, high school, who gets laid in high school? Jocks.
Everyone seemed to be getting laid in high school in the 90s in Southern California.
No, I didn't. Okay, oh, but I wasn't in the 90s. I was in the 80s.
Well, me too. I guess I graduated in 90.
Well, you've done well for yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah. What about...
This place is awesome. I got to tell you, the whole situation here is the way it's supposed to be, and that's really beautiful to see.
Yeah, I love... it feels like... Like you're on the radio or something, like professional.
Like you're in a clubhouse of professional pirate radio.
Yeah. And look, people just walk in on you. What do you want, Tish?
I'm taking pictures in Church's stead, probably badly.
All right. Tish is
good. I doubt that, seriously.
She's pretty good.
Yeah.
You're pretty awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Now Tish was saying you misgendered her, but I maintain that you just call everyone dude.
Yeah.
Well, he said sir to me earlier.
Well, you said yes, sir, which that's what you say to
I'm from
people.
Greenville, South Carolina, girl.
Oh, I lived in, like...
And we were in an official sense.
I don't think he heard
it. I did not have you gender misidentified. That is hilarious.
I knew it.
That is probably one of the most hilarious things I've ever been accused of in my life.
Tish is a huge idiot.
I can't wait to, like, you know...
Don't take it up me. Everyone knows what I look like. Well, no, everyone does.
I've heard you were a gender misidentifier, too. And is that true? Tell me, is that true?
Do you ever misidentify a gender in a song? That would be embarrassing.
Lola?
Oh, yeah, Lola. Mm. Yeah. who
Long,
were you
Tall, Sally?
Who were you inspired by?
There was a few. I become obsessive. I love Parliament Funkadelic.
Oh yeah,
George Clinton. Was
yeah, I
one
can
of
see that in your music.
Biggest
definitely.
Heroes. Yeah. I actually followed him around for 30 shows or so.
Yeah,
spending all
it's
the
amazing.
Money I had at the time, and he's quite an amazing entity. But that's what I do. Is I guess the Hives really inspired me in terms of current bands mm-hmm. that were happening alongside of me.
Yeah,
and Little Richard. I used to have a slogan: "Living to live, make Little Richard proud."
Yeah.
And that would be good enough for me. I'm not trying to be different. I'm just trying to be the same as Chuck Berry and Little Richard. And
yeah.
that might be aiming high, but I'm certainly not going to. I mean, I think Drum and I are both the kind of dudes that we really understand with songwriting, you're not going to find anything original. There's nothing new under the sun. So you should steal from the best.
Yeah, definitely.
I used a Backman Turner overdrive machine that I sort of put everything through.
Spell... What Tish? What?
Go ahead. I'm
why are you just talking to yourself?
Well, I just got excited.
We were talking.
She doesn't understand that this is like a real show. I mean, it's not a real show, but it's close. We could become one with this guest.
But I think with her, it's an entertaining show.
With these guests here, yeah, it's
Can
an entertaining.
I help guests?
Get out of here!
Thank you, Don.
You're fired.
I just asked him about the Sonics.
I love this.
Okay. I know. See, that's okay.
All right. Well, you want to get on mic and ask him yourself?
The Sonics.
You can if you want.
The Sonics are a unique band, and yeah. I always get into the history of things.
Yeah.
The Sonics were a regional hit band from Washington in the 60s.
Yeah.
My parents used to see them in high school.
Yeah, and they broke up, and it wasn't until this collection called Nuggets got put out in like 73, about 5 years after they'd broken up, that people started to like it, and it was named Garage Rock. That's the first time that ever came out. It was really just the budget recorded AM rocker clone hits of the early 60s. And they're this amazing band, and they sing. They're like, what happens when white kids from the outskirts of Washington get obsessed with Little Richard? They make punk rock. The Stooges showed it. I mean,
yeah. So did they inspire you to
absolutely
just, yeah, I mean, start writing?
You can hear it in my music.
When did you start writing?
About
you started
3 weeks before I started writing my first record.
Wow, so 33.
Yeah, it was
wow.
Like I came home, my marriage dissolved after finding my ex-wife.
What were you doing before that?
I worked in politics and I was a writer.
Uh-huh. Worked in politics. What does that mean?
It wouldn't be a popular topic, I'm sure, but
that's
I was,
all right,
I, was an assassin for the party that had the R in front of its name.
Oh, right, okay. You don't have a gun.
So I got paid. Here. No, I didn't mean an actual assassin.
Well, I know, but I do know that you have guns. Jeff Davis was here.
Well, God made men and women. Guns make them equal, but I felt like I was coming to a house of peace. Why on earth would I ever want to bring
God, me? Yes, please. We last thing we want to do is rile you up.
Actually, the safest place in the world anytime you could is with me.
Yeah.
Because I don't get riled up.
Right.
We actually went shooting on this last tour. It was the first time I'd been around a gun since an ordeal that we went through in Paris that was very very serious. And I didn't know how I was going to react. It was part of the closure of my therapy. And one of the guns went off. The instructor actually was trying to hand a gun and right in front of
everyone. Oh, Jesus.
And everyone jumped a mile, but I didn't move.
Yeah.
It's just not there anymore.
Wow. Do you think, I mean, I wasn't even going to bring it up, but do you think that has affected your songwriting at all?
It's made it better.
Yeah.
I don't have it in me to let the bad guys win. You know what I mean? I really don't. And to be on the death list of an asshole like that group is like going to get me laid.
Yeah.
I mean, like if Adolf Hitler wrote me a letter that said, I really don't like you.
Yeah.
You'd hang that up. It'd be like winning the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
And the only way we win is to not let them take a single thing from us, not a laugh. Not a moment of anything.
I
not
agree.
A moment of peace. I mean, we just did an American run, and we didn't bring security with us. I'm not going to
Well, that's good. Yeah, I feel like we just got to go on with life the way it is.
We have to.
Yeah.
But we have to insist on it.
Yeah. But if it could make you write better songs, that's cool too.
Of course it does. It made me appreciate a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And my motto was stay horny.
Yeah.
Like, that's what got me through it. Stay horny.
Right.
And I stayed horny in an old-fashioned
American way. I was just talking about staying horny. Because I'm 52.
Dude, I was able to rock three-quarter chub, like, for two-fifths of the day. Easily.
Wow. I just had my first doctor's appointment since I was, like, 10. And perfectly healthy. And I think it's because I have a lot of sex and I jack off a lot. And my body thinks that I'm procreating.
I've tried.
And it doesn't want to kill me yet because they're like, we need you. We need
you
more.
You should try jacking on. It's a slightly different
technique. Oh, yeah? What is that like?
I don't know. But I
no, I want to get into
I mean,
that.
I thought it sounded provocative.
I think I it's, like, you gotta, your next song is called Jacking On.
It's going to be.
Yeah. That would be great. I do that. Like, when you think of something, like, just a little off like that, and I'm like, hey, that's a good song. That's where my mind goes to now. It used to be, like, sketches.
I just hope it doesn't get to a point where I need someone to choke a chicken, literally, or, like, put on a mask and speak in a different voice. Like, I just want the normal stuff to get me off, you know, like, choking a chicken. Just
yeah. Are there any songs that, like, pop out at you, like, since that tragedy happened that you've written that you'd even...
I put a few of them in a place and then I'll leave them there, you know?
Yeah.
It really, it's something we pass through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
So you don't play them at all in concert? Or...
We'll see. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, not even me, you know what I mean?
Right,
but
yeah.
Really, it's something we pass through, you know? And it's, I think what is expected of us from the people, especially that were there, is... that it be about our rock and roll. That's why people love us. You know, it's about shaking dick and having a good time.
Yeah.
Without wearing something over your face.
Right. Oh, you're shitting on Kiss again.
No. I wasn't shitting on Kiss.
I know, you're never shitting on Kiss.
No, never. Yeah. They do that just fine on their own.
Oh, boy. So how many songs do you think you've written in your life? Can you even think? Since 33, and how old are you now?
71.
If you're 71, so you must have written a million songs.
No, well, I've written a lot of other people's songs, but they've been ripping me off, man. And there's nothing I can do about it.
You mean, like, for other bands?
No. I mean, yeah, I've written songs for other bands, but I've been paid well. I think I've probably written about 300 songs.
Wow.
But, you know, that seems like a lot, but you might have to consider that, like, Smokey Robinson wrote 13,000 songs.
Yeah.
That's a lot of songs.
Yeah.
That's, like, a serious amount.
Like what's the ratio? And I'm just asking these because this is what I'm interested in.
Yeah, this is, like, I got it.
What is the ratio of songs you actually like that you've written to songs you don't even play anymore?
I only steal from my favorite songs. So I've never, honestly, I mean, technically, because I steal songs from the greatest rock albums ever made, I tend to write the greatest rock songs of all time. And that's
so
in all humility. In all humility, yeah, yeah.
Is your, because with me, my last song is always my favorite. The new baby.
Well, I mean, you do judge a person by the last thing they do.
Yeah.
So I suppose, but in rock and roll where things live forever, you can judge someone on their greatest hit, ergo greatest hits. We're a very fortunate band. I mean, we only write hits. That's one of our secrets. I was like, you know what? I got an idea.
See? Yeah. I mean, why doesn't everyone have that goddamn idea?
Well, because people start trying to be 10 feet tall by cutting themselves off at the knees. That's what I see. So
well, that's
never,
a bad way of being 10
that's
feet tall.
Hello.
Oh, Jesus.
Self-defeating. Dude, is that Cool Edit Pro?
I don't know. What is it? Matt?
Does anyone know if this program's Cool Edit Pro?
We're leaving this in, by the way. Pro Tools.
It looks so Cool Edit Pro 2.0.
Yeah. So how do you spell your name?
J-O-R-M-A.
J-O-R-M-A.
Jorma. Well, it's short for Jormakin. Jormakin be crazy. Just kidding. I've been dying to say that.
It was the guitar player for the Jefferson Airplane.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
my parents were.
Oh, yeah. They got high. My parents Hippies. Didn't get high. Yeah.
He didn't wear clothes for a long time. There's a lot of pictures of him with his little red Bion on a dangle situation. I'm just saying, it's very artistic, though.
Did you write songs before you met?
I was always part of the writing process in my prior bands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like, the Bronx is a pretty hefty prior band, dude. I mean, like, you guys influenced me. and inspired me. Awesome. That's cool. Come on, that's the truth. Like that's
it's working a little different with the movie. It's it's our first time scoring a movie, so
we scored.
You scored,
Whereas the you're creating atmosphere for the image, so you have that as inspiration.
Yeah.
You know, and you're kind of, you're watching it and adapting as you're playing.
Right.
It's really
cool.
Yeah,
that's true. Do you, this is probably a dumb question, but it probably turns out that they're not as personal of songs then if you're getting them from some other.
Sometimes, but then you're really trying, your ego and rep is really on the line here, actually. There's nowhere to run and hide. Like, it's either going to work or it's not.
Yeah.
And it's a way of, you're putting yourself out there in a way that's out of your control because you're actually having to listen to it with someone so they can go, yeah, I like this. Whereas I don't give a rat's ass what anyone thinks about the album I'm making.
Yeah.
My concept of selling out is only making the album you're told to make instead of the album you're, you know, wanting to make. And really, my manager only knows enough about music to turn the fucking radio on, so I don't really give a shit what his opinion is anyway. Yeah. Why would I ask him? You know what I mean? That's a bad precedent to start, because then you're like, you ask him, motherfucker might tell you. You know, that could be worse.
I always say I don't listen to anyone else about my music, but do you think subconsciously, I know subconsciously I'm always thinking, oh, I wonder if my friend will like this song. Or
of course, you know, when people say things like, I don't care what anyone thinks, that's a lie. I mean, and it's good to care what people think. Yeah. That's what a society is based upon.
Mm-hmm.
But art and entertainment is a very interesting thing. It's a commodity that's speculative completely, and it has no real value. What's worth $100 a ticket to one person in Rochester, New York, isn't worth $2 to anyone in L.A. The Charlie Sheen tour, although it seemed like it would sell out, nobody went.
Yeah.
Because it's a speculation.
Right, yeah,
it's based a lot on, on a lot of things that are almost subconscious and psychological.
Yeah, yeah.
So that being said, like, it's in the eye of the beholder. A lot of times you're playing Simon Says and Emperor's New Clothes with the audience.
Right.
But you just got to have a big dick.
Uh-oh.
Like a big chub. Oh. At the age, whatever age, you know what I mean? That's right. Like whenever it starts.
Mine's at, maybe a little below, I don't know.
Like a baby's fist holding an apple. That's what rock and roll will do for you. Like an ivory baby's fist holding a golden apple.
Wow. Never got that answer before on this show.
Well, you know.
I'm learning so much about songwriting.
Yeah, it's great. This is all part of the process of songwriting. I use a tool of open tuning. That's honest to God, what am I?
Yeah. Do you want to play a little?
I mean, I'll show you my tuning if you want to see it. Yeah. It's very easy.
If you have a song that you want to play with the open tuning, do it. You know, if not, that's cool.
I was tuning down, by the way.
That's amazing.
I was tuning
obviously
that down,
it's an old
and
string.
It broke. That, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
but watch this.
Billy Ray Morris is not going to be happy with that.
See, and then it's like instant.
Yeah,
instant.
Yeah.
We just defied the laws of physics.
That's amazing.
I don't know what the penalty is for breaking the laws of physics. I mean, it could be extreme, but. And a lot of people use this tuning. It's really Keith Richards' tuning. He just takes off the top string.
Yeah.
And
you took off the bottom.
I did it in reverse to flip it on its ear. But a lot of bands use it, like Led Zeppelin. I mean, a lot of bands use it. It's kind of a, but for me, it's right at my vocal range, and it makes it so I don't got to learn things like chords and notes and stuff like that.
Well, give the girls a thrill. Play a song, will you? If you want.
Let me see what song I could play. I'm so nervous. I've never
heard it. Yeah, well, lastly.
Let me see what song would be a good one. Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall out my chair. In the middle with you, and I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face. Lose control, yeah, I'm all over the place. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
a self-made man. And your friends, they all come running, slap you on the back and say, please.
Everyone sing along.
Please.
Yeah, woo.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I am stuck in the middle with you. Here I am stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I am stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I am.
That's great. Now, when you wrote that song.
Yeah. But, you know, that tuning is... It's fun, and I like. Yeah. I find it easier to learn to play the guitar when you're playing songs that you like.
Yeah, yeah. And does the open tuning like
it's more? It's conducive to hillbilly. So it's for slide and finger picking,
right? And it must change the character of the songs you're writing.
It controls it.
Yeah,
because when you're in an open tuning, you're in the riffs stay model.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter where you are, it's just variations, and that can become very signature like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the things. I wanted a sound. I wanted to have, like, so I just looked at what everyone was playing and played the different thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, like, really simple. And then I don't know if anyone had, do you have a lighter? Because that's the beauty of slide, and then it makes it sound like you really know what you're doing when you don't really know what you're doing. Screw it.
That's all right, screw it. Yeah, thank you.
And you break a string now, and then we'll be string brothers.
I'm going to put it down.
That was wild, dude. Tuning a string down and it breaks.
Know, that's crazy. It's a first. Another first here.
What that means
the baby
is that
dick and that.
It hasn't been touched in a long time.
Yeah.
So long that it was actually held in its spot.
So we're in June. We're like halfway through the year. I thought I'm going to start writing a Christmas album because I always want to write a Christmas album around Christmas time. But then it's too late. You got to wait another whole year. Have you ever written like any kind of genre music like that, like a holiday?
I've been inspired by holidays.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm one of those dudes that I'm not so greedy that I have to write everything. There's a lot of people who've written a lot of great Christmas music before me. I'll let them handle it.
Yeah.
Mine are
not going to be
like Paul McCartney wrote. Simply
Having. That's the worst song, right?
Christmas song. Great song.
Do you
still
like it?
Dude, how can you deny it? I know what it is. I didn't.
Well, yeah, but I know commercial jingles too, and I hate them.
Barry Manilow wrote some of the greatest commercial jingles.
Yes, he
just like a good neighbor, State Farm.
I would take any of those instead of that Christmas song
by
Paul McCartney
any day of the week.
It's way better than
he wrote
the Paul
Plop
McCartney.
Plop Fizz Fizz. Get a piece of the rock. I'd take the rock, especially the movie
Kentucky
with
Fried
Nicolas
Chicken.
Cage. Yeah.
Get a bucket of chicken, finger looking good. That's an old one.
Get a bucket, finger looking good, dude. Classic words.
I think I would put that in a real song.
Dude, better than Shakespeare.
What about jingles? Have you ever written a jingle?
Yes, but not for anything you would know.
Well, baby dicks.
No, just an all-male cast movie advertisement for a variety of all-male cast films that maybe I was involved in. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
In the San Francisco area, the Bay Area, maybe.
Do you ever do solo shows? Just like...
Well, we were talking about masturbating before, remember? So, just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I mean, my solo band is called Boots Electric.
But I mean, like maybe acoustic solo, like where
it's
just
you. Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah. I'm vain. I mean, I like to be petted. I'm a kitty cat, so I'll do whatever.
Yeah. You find that you do different types of songs. You write songs for bands differently than you write if you think this will just be me.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, normally you're trying, if it's an established band, you're trying to do what their thing is, which is totally fine. You know what I mean?
And right. So then it gives you kind of the freedom.
A lot of great comedians don't write all their own jokes, you know?
Right, yeah.
Solo, but... normally, I'm pretty much, I feel the audience out. That's what determines what I'm going to play.
So you don't have a set list usually?
A lot of time, we have a set list, wouldn't you say? But it has an evolutionary element to it. We call them audibles.
Yeah. I don't like doing set lists, really. I mean, I like a general set list, but I don't
absolutely.
Have, you know.
But you have to be able to feel the audience, and the audience might be in a different spot where you need to move it along faster, or you need to slow it down, or you need to up the horny ante, like hitting nitro on an engine.
Have you ever written a song like spontaneously in a show?
normally being horny is what writes my songs for me. Honestly, I mean,
well,
it's
you can
very
be horny on stage.
I can be, but it's very it's very confused because you're in the process of singing pre-written songs. It's right, like yeah. cheating yeah. in a gangbang. It feels really weird. Which is impossible. It's like being reminded of the future. It's not possible.
Yeah.
this is awesome, dude. I'm sorry. But...
I know. This is great. I never prepare questions. So,
we got a sleeper.
Someone's sleeping?
We have a...
That's so not cool.
They better be unconscious from drugs.
That's so not cool.
It's cool if they're unconscious from drugs.
Wake them up.
No, let them sleep. We should super glue stuff to their face.
Gabe.
I did that to Davy Joe once. I put super glue over his eyebrows on his nose. Yeah, I did it right here on his chin and put a white piece of paper on his face. And when he woke up, he went, what the hell?
Oh.
And he looked like Snowflake Groucho Marx. It was hilarious, dude. He was pissed at me for days and it left these really red, awful marks on his face.
Oh my God, Snowflake Groucho Marx. That's another song title.
It's actually a movie I'm trying to produce right now.
Well, you could write some great tunes.
And then
for it.
We now have this scoring experience, and we're going to score the film as true partners.
Nice, yeah.
Crime.
Do it.
It's going to be great.
So what's next after the film? Are you going to keep writing together? Like,
well, yeah, we're going to do an album called Big Mike, Little Mike.
I'm Big Mike.
It's going to be awesome, dude. It's going to be a top tenner. Top tier 10, dude. Straight to the top.
What's the last thing you wrote together?
Well, we created a time movie. Machine and we went back in time when we rewrote.
Rewrote.
You could
stuck
say
in the
rewrote.
Middle with you.
No, Captain and Tennille's great hit. and then we also wrote Kiki D and Elton John's Don't Go Breaking My Heart because I had to get in on that.
That would be great to have a time machine and just write every song.
Or just be able to like be confident enough to redo, like make your own. Like that song is so beautiful because it says, that's it doesn't matter. We know that, come on, Elton, who are you kidding? But you know what? This song's so rad. We believe it's possible that you two might have sex.
Yeah. That's an interesting question that I'm going to start giving is like, if you could go back in time and write or rewrite somebody else's song, what would it be? Like rewriting is an interesting
And then my thing. Honest answer would be I wouldn't need to because I stay in this time and I just steal it.
Well, you gave me the time machine idea. It's not fair now.
Well, you know what? The problem with time travel is that it takes forever.
I once wrote a sketch about a bigamist who was in, who made a time machine. He had a family in the Stone Age and in the future. And
oh, that's rad.
They were called the Jetstones. And, but he was always rushing, even though there was a time machine. He's like, come on, time machine, let's go. I'm late. You know,
that would be the conundrum. You know what I mean? That
yeah.
It would be. And there's actually dudes that do stuff like that. They have multiple families. You know, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's called bigamy.
But I mean, where either family knows about each other.
Oh, Mormons.
Well, no, the Mormons, they know about each other, but yeah. Like dudes with like weird trips where they have a family over in this yeah. town and they've kept them separate for 15
years. Oh, they
years.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's, yeah, I definitely know that.
That's called awesome.
I know. That would be great.
Just kidding, Mom.
Your mom's not going to listen to
you this. You have no idea.
Wow. Have you ever written a song about your mom? I always have to get back to the songwriting thing. Just really
no, my mom would be bummed, I think. And there's a song where I take the Lord's name in vain, and as she says, and she walks out. If she sees it on the set list, she finds out when it is, and I'll see her boogieing out for that song.
And how do you use it? Just the way normal humans
the way it's meant to be used, to exclaim when you're seeing a really hot girl.
Yeah, yeah.
A beautiful lady. Shit, goddamn.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Adonai Jehovah. That's what I was.
No, not the actual taking the Lord's name, but the actual name of the Lord in vain. I love that's the more beautiful way to say it.
Yeah.
It really is.
Have you ever written a song in another language?
In French?
Yeah, you have?
Yeah, I mean, the album with Silver Lake on it, I wrote an entire verse. I love France. Always loved France. I've had a long relationship with France.
Yeah. Have you gone back?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got to be a little different for you, but it's still a good experience.
It's deeper.
Yeah.
It's deeper.
Yeah.
I'm French.
Oh, you are?
Now I am.
Oh, okay.
Baptized by blood.
Yeah, yeah. And have you written a song about France at all since? Or
so many songs have been written about France.
Yeah.
In a way, you could say they're all going to be written about France.
Yeah.
From here on out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you went through a heavy thing.
But I want all French songs to be written about me now. Like, if I'm going to do this, like, I mean, maybe that's too much to ask.
I'm going to write a French song about you.
Okay, good.
I mean, I'm going to get the word out.
I'm going to write the French embassy and say, I have a suggestion.
Write it in a song.
All upcoming French music should be.
Write the French embassy a song.
That's what I'll do. Dude, I'll take them to the top. I feel like bad stuff could go down in this place. Like cool bad stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was going to bring some Coke. yeah, but I did it last week, and I think that's why I got a cold.
Sniffly.
Yeah, I'm sniffly. Yeah. Yeah.
You're saying the Bible study, that's perfect. We brought some drugs.
You did? What did you bring?
Tylenol. Just kidding. Coke. No. We brought, we're going to be making a movie about the dangers of drug use, so we brought placebo.
Yeah, well,
pharmaceutical grade amphetamines.
Yeah, yeah. We got a whole bar here, too.
You know, drinking's a lot of work for a shitty high. Yeah. I feel like I just prefer drugs. And I feel like everything offers you a deal. Like, you know, certain drugs offer you a deal. Drugs offer you a deal. Alcohol offers you a deal.
Yeah, yeah.
The deal with alcohol is a bummer. It's like, never. It's not a good investment. It's like you might get a $10,000 fine to follow you around, impregnate somebody you would think is ugly, and you might ruin your reputation with your employers. Yeah. Great.
Now, me, I'm the employer, and I like it when people drink here.
I like it when people get loaded, because in the house of thieves, I don't trust somebody who ain't stealing.
Yeah.
And I have no moral opposition to drugs or alcohol. Right.
I know what you're saying.
I'll have a shot once in a while, but it's just a lot of work for a shitty guy.
Yeah. The older I get, definitely, it's a little harder.
I prefer other people to drink.
Yeah. Me too.
I prefer a shitty high.
Oh, well, get him a drink.
Dude, I have this drug. It's like ecstasy, but the exact opposite. You want a drink?
We can get one for you.
I have something called Total Bummer.
A beer?
Dude, try 4 hits of Total Bummer.
Tish also is trying to sell off some Tylenol with codeine.
I don't think she has Total Bummer.
If you want to buy it.
It's like ecstasy, but the exact opposite. It really fucks up everything.
Have you written high?
Yes.
And
go on.
Is it better or worse?
It's awesome.
Or
it just depends on if it's better. Yeah. I've always never understood when people the late great Robin Williams would say decry their drug use. Their drug use, it's an ingredient. You're part of a formula of a potion, and you just have to simply recognize and be honest with what you're doing instead of pretending like you're not doing what you're doing.
I have to say I write better a little drunk. Just a little
loose.
Drunk. Yeah.
I get possessed.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to be possessed by the same demons as my heroes.
Yeah.
The Tylenol with codeine is...
See, she's straight. She doesn't drink or anything. So,
what do you mean?
And she just had oral surgery and has Tylenol.
What happened, baby?
I got a wisdom tooth out.
Are you okay? You look amazing.
Thank you.
Wow.
He's flattering.
You're having a good couple weeks. Andy was talking about your tits.
Oh, they're so big.
Looks like you got a date.
I couldn't help it. It was an artistic look that I took. I was only looking at them. I was regarding them artistically. I wasn't even looking at them.
I want you to write a goddamn song about...
She has an amazing artistic situation going on there.
Tish tits.
I would be more than happy to write a song about...
Are you dating anyone now? Are you married? What is it?
Well, I'm married.
What's inspiring you?
I like girls.
Yeah.
My mom's my biggest hero. I have really high standards. I really like women. I really am friends with women.
It looks like tissue.
And I'm straight too. Like, it's awesome. Being raised by women, I have a secret weapons that they can't, no defense against.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go deep cover. I go full could he be gay? Well, let's find out.
It's the mustache.
And then I say things like, I don't know. I'm really nervous. Yeah, I think I'm ready to go the full step. As long as it's with you.
Do you have any songs, girl name songs?
Of course, Miss Alyssa. She was a girl I was in love with.
Miss Alyssa, that's good. That's it rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it worked. Luckily, it worked.
Yeah.
But normally, I like it when normally it's doing a service to the person that's the subject of the song to make it coded, because a lot of times I'm I'm being vengeful or hurt,
right?
Or whatever. And I'm
That's interesting. How do you code songs?
You just explain situations and describe situations that only the other person would know.
Yeah.
And try to do it in a way that sounds, quote unquote, universal.
Yeah. And just, yeah, you don't use names, obviously.
Unless you use names. Just kidding. I don't.
Well, I, you guys, I, you got here late,
yeah,
and I have to go pick up my daughter.
We got here right on time.
You did. You did.
That's so weird. But I mean, never a certain time, but...
But this has been fun. Would you guys come back?
Of course I would. You know, I've been wanting to do this so... This has been a long time journey of, like, we've been stuck in the studio situation.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Jorma just got his driver's license.
Yeah.
Barely.
Oh, my God. Are you 16 already?
Yep. Just turned.
Wow. No, a late bloomer. We call him a late bloomer. Is where we go. But he just got his driver's license, and he just bought, of all things, an old school bus. So it was a little difficult to drive here today.
Oh, my God. You were in a
first
school
car.
Bus?
So weird.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. I'm very gullible. I'm like Tish. I'm very gullible, too.
I don't agree, darling.
I'm referencing something she didn't even say in front of the mic. She said it earlier.
Like, what did Bugs Bunny say? What a gullible. About the bull.
Right,
the
yeah. Well, thanks, guys, for coming.
So you got to come be on our show. We don't have a show yet, but when we have a show...
All right. Well,
you got to come break a string on my guitar.
I will. And you guys got to come back.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I want you to. I just, you know...
We got you.
You guys came in the school bus.
And by the way, we're still going to be at the studio, this amazing studio called Valentine. If you'd love to come in and check it out, I'd love to.
No, I'd love to. I'd love to come. Yeah.
Just down the street.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a blast.
This was awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
And then we're out of here, dude.
Yeah.
Here's no drugs. We're out of here, dude.